Hey, FYI, this Spoutcast has the subject of sex and sexual immorality. So if there are any young listeners, go ahead and have them leave the room unless you feel like, hey, it's time. It's time for that discussion. Just wanted to give you an FYI disclaimer so we didn't freak anybody out. Enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. Hey!
Hey.
I'm Christian Warren. Alongside me is scene stealer Kevin Tinkin,
ooh.
Sarah Wells, and fancy lady Jane Fawcett.
Ooh, ooh.
Welcome, everybody, to our 40th anniversary.
Happy midlife crisis!
Did you buy us a car?
No.
Oh.
No.
What about a giant camper?
Can I get, like, my lips injected with collagen?
Yes.
I saw someone yesterday at Starbucks with her lips injected with collagen, and I wanted to go and ask her if it hurt.
Do you want to kiss her,
horrible. No, it was. She looked really awkward.
So 40. 40 episodes.
All right.
40.
Yep.
This is a good day. We got some good stuff planned for today.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
I was just going to say.
Hey, next time we do the intro, could you not ruin it?
Wait, did you want him to say?
Yeah,
what
you keep interrupting him.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say.
Oh, so this is a great day.
I just put my lips in a beehive. If I want them plumper.
Oh.
Kiss a beehive.
All right. Well, on today's episode, we're going to talk about sexual intimacy. And.
Wait, what?
Just threw that out there.
Well, because that was the sermon.
It's a
sexual
sermon.
Immorality. Not intimacy.
Immorality.
It's all there. It's all in one.
We're also going to talk about our one and why, our worst breakups and why.
That's kind of a relationships episode.
Yeah, a little bit. And then we're also going to, we're going to talk with our producer, Andrew File. Bring him back in and just chat about his role at the well, kind of some life group guides, and then also kind of the state of the Spoutcast and some help we need from you as a fan of the show.
We need you.
We need your help.
Also, we'll close out the show with some announcements, but I'm glad we're here.
Mm.
Guys, we haven't been together in a little 40. While.
I haven't been
Sorry
here
about last
in
week,
while.
Fans. I really blew that
Yeah, why
one.
Didn't you... No pun intended?
Our toilet exploded, and we drove home from winter camp, and Jesse called me and said, your water is leaking all over the floor. It's on your carpet. And your toilet and bathtub have overflowed and exploded.
The bathtub?
Bathtub. Toilet
too?
Paper all over the ground.
Shut it.
Everywhere.
You
Jesse's turds
that
all over the place.
To somebody.
Wow.
I'm not kidding. This is a real thing.
That's gross.
Her turds weren't everywhere.
Why?
Honestly, the guy came out and he said, you just a lot of hair clogged up in there. And our tub and our toilet run on the same pump. Basically the same drain system.
Yeah.
So it just once one got backed up, once Jesse flushed the toilet once, it was like everything overflowed.
No way.
Went all over the place. We had to put fans on our carpet. It was a big deal. So sorry about that last week, guys. Hope you can forgive me. But you forgive me, Kevin?
Yeah, it's pretty crappy welcome home.
All right. Well, stay tuned for some discussion on
Poopy.
A great sermon yesterday.
And this widow bill is leaving.
Like, look how crazy this is, man. This guy is with his stepmom and he's in church. Man, isn't this good? Grace is good, isn't it? That we can just kind of, let's just all get along. It's all grace. It's all good. And here they are. I don't know how that sits with you. That's a little awkward to me. And you start looking at what these people are working through and you realize that they are so surrounded by Roman sexuality, that it is influencing the church in a huge way. See, we look at this kind of thing and we go, well, that's crazy. That ought not to be. I go, yeah, that's right. It ought not to be. And though chances are, there's not very many people, if any, here who are sleeping with their stepmoms, do you think there's porneia or sexual immorality among us in the church? Oh, absolutely there is.
That was a clip from Brad's message this past weekend from 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He basically went through verse 1 and half of verse 2.
Yeah.
Yeah? So I think he maybe, I don't know, basically 1 in 2.1 or whatever. Is that
2A.
Fair? 2A, yeah.
Yeah, 2A.
And yes, as that clip kind of pointed out, it was basically about sexual immorality. And, you know, it's interesting how Corinthians, the book, kind of starts out. I feel like chapters 1 through 4 is about just like, it's all about Christ. It's all about the gospel. And we've even, our discussions in here have been pointing towards Christ. It's not about Brad as a teacher. It's not about mm-hmm. Jared or PJ. It's about one, it's about Christ. It's about God. And then he just slammed them right mm-hmm. off the bat in verse 5 with, some pretty intense stuff. Mm-hmm. So, Kevin, you want to explain what the Church of Corinthians was doing in chapter 1?
They were getting freaky, man. It was bad. It was bad. This discussion always hits home because I think it's like the number one killer, man.
Totally.
It really is. I remember I had a small group like 60 years ago. It was less time than that. But we had a small group. It was a couples group, and it was, you know, whatever, it was a okay group.
Yeah.
And then one of the weeks we're like, let's split up. Like, we'll split up, we'll go, guys will stay in the living room, girls will go back
to the kitchen,
get in the kitchen,
Jane. Watch that tongue on here.
The girls went in the back bedroom, but I remember the door shut in the back bedroom, and this guy just kind of like, okay, so I got this, I got that, and it was all this sexual immorality stuff. And like, there was no reality in the small group until we were able to split off, because it was like this guy, he's been meeting for like 6-7 weeks.
Totally.
And so he starts, you know, letting it out, like, gosh, I need help with this, guys. And then, you know, another guy's like, hey, me too, you know. And it was just like, I was like, whoa, you know. And I remember that being like the beginning of real, you know, real change, real health,
real community
among those people. Yeah, actual community where you're saying, hey, these are my scars, these are my issues, these are my ugly, nasty, dark closet secret issues. So
totally.
It just seems like every time I get in a small group, there's that issue comes up, and it's just a constant struggle. It's a constant struggle with people. So I love that it's a punch in the face. It's a direct message this week. And he said he was talking about avoiding it, you know, like the sex scenes in 300 at the beginning of the sermon. And man, I avoid that thing like the sex scenes in 300.
Yeah.
It's going to be an ism, a Bradism now. But
you know,
so good though.
Totally. And what's cool is that obviously Paul was writing about a specific context of what was going on with, you know, people basically sleeping with their stepmoms, kids basically sleeping with their stepmoms. Mm-hmm. But it goes beyond just that. And what you can pull from one verse, mm-hmm. it just unpacks so much stuff. And this is not the end of it. I mean, the whole chapter 5 and chapter 6 is about this type of stuff. So this is week one of probably the next 4 or 5 weeks, I would have guessed.
Well, and then chapter 7 is on marriage and divorce,
right,
which is a lot more heavy stuff to walk through, too. So it's going to be a lot of heaviness for a while, which is good.
Which
I
is
think
great.
It's good.
And so I think that this...
Hit me in the face.
Go ahead. Do it again. Do it again.
Hit me in the mouth.
Yeah, and I just feel like this sparks good conversation. This sparks the necessary conversation that needs to happen between husband and wife, or female friends, male friends that are single, all of the above. I mean, everybody struggles with different variations of this type of thing. And something that, like, and I was telling Lacey about yesterday, and you know, people can disagree with me, and I'm obviously not a parent, and Kevin is a parent, and it's one of those things where I feel like, you know, Brad prefaced this message before, mm-hmm. You know, if you have kids of the young age, mm-hmm. Maybe this is something that you might want to talk about them first before they hear this message or whatever. And I totally understand the heart behind that, and I'm glad he did it. On the other end, it's like, you know, this has become a sin that's like everybody's so ashamed of or whatever. But if this could become a sin that people could talk about like any other sin, I feel like we wouldn't have to preface this kind of stuff. But then again, you have kids and I get it. So,
well, it's the parents' job to communicate this stuff.
Right.
But like, you know, I appreciate it. Just like, hey, FYI, this is coming
totally.
Up. You know, I mean, Will's not going to be in there. You know, he's three. So he's going, what's going on? What's a stepmom? But I don't know. I would say, though, when I think about when you're talking about kids and the discussion of sex and sexual immorality and the whole thing, I think about the first time that I was exposed to pornography. I was like 11, 12 years old. I remember.
I may have been nine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I might have been. It was crazy. I remember a neighbor across the street had this like treasure chest.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, you want to go back in the bushes? And it's like five guys. And we're just like, what?
That is not a shocking situation to
not
most
at all.
Males.
So crazy
because
to
everybody
me.
Has a story like that.
Yeah.
And
it's
when
a guy.
You said the first exposure is usually at the age of 11.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
I would say maybe that's more of a male thing, but I could see it as a female as well. And I'm just kind of like, look, why is this issue, if this wasn't such like a, and Brad said it really well, like Satan is totally using this issue as this like horribly like demoralizing, demeaning thing. And it's like, gosh, why don't we look at this issue on the same level that all other
For
sin
sure.
issues are? It's like,
I
wish I could talk about this type of stuff freely, just like I talk about my anger issues freely or whatever, but I can't.
Yeah.
And it's because it's been demonized.
There's part of that, like when you're talking about like homosexuality, like how come we can't talk about that like we talk about speeding? But there's also a part of sexuality that is so vulnerable. It is it's more of a shameful thing to talk about, or shameful, I mean, quote unquote, because it is so vulnerable and it does reveal so much more of yourself than I speed. Like that does, I mean, that I didn't bare my soul to you at all.
Right.
So I think the fact like that so encourages me that what you're saying with the guys and the girls split and the guy that started unloading, like when you say things out loud, like sin issues, that's when Satan loses his power in it.
Really?
The longer you go without speaking your secret or your sin, he just manifests himself. He makes his little web, and that's where you believe all the lies. Mm-hmm. And especially in sexual sin, because it involves your soul, your body, your mind. Like it's so much more than just like, I mean, and I hope I'm not making a bigger deal than it is, but it is harder to talk about, I think.
Well, I think just like you said, bearing your soul is what it's all about. I'm a moron, so we can establish that, right? And part of me being ridiculous and is I don't understand privacy really with myself a lot of times. Mm-hmm. So that's not 100% true, but that's the flavor of what I'm trying to say. So I share a lot. So it'll be funny. Like, it'll be really weird. We'll be in small group settings and I'll just be like, bleh. And people, and then the guys, you know, like, especially the small group leader that knows me or the people that know me that are there that are like, I'm going to invite my brother-in-law. I'm going to invite this guy from work. And they're kind of going, yeah, go, Kevin, go. Cause do it, share it. And then everybody else is a little uncomfortable. And then, you know, Jerry starts sharing something and Bill starts, these are made up names. You know, but when you are vulnerable and you are just like, this is who I am.
Sorry. When you're vulnerable, not with just guys in the room, with females as well, I think that's more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is Jenny in the room?
When I'm sharing stuff like,
yeah.
No, this is a guy's group.
Just a guy. Okay.
Well, because here's the deal. For me, I'm vulnerable with Jenny, obviously.
Right.
One-on-one. But if I'm in a co-ed group and I'm being emotionally vulnerable, it's kind of like that spiritual intimacy. It just takes down another wall that gets closer to, I don't know, sexual intimacy.
Right.
For me, a lot of times. But I mean, if we could do a couples group where people were being vulnerable and open and honest about stuff, I think that would be amazing. My experience typically hasn't been the best with couples groups.
Yeah.
And I always want it to be. I always want it to be like, hey, you know, I almost hit her the other day, guys. I almost hit her the other day and like, whoa. Like, and somebody was like, I almost hit her the other day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are we going to do to make sure we don't hit him?
Right.
You know, I'm just making up a ridiculous scenario that's probably closer to the truth than I should be joking about. But
I'm saying that would be, I mean, that's the ideal goal. How powerful is that couples are open and honest with one another? Because I feel like what's happening is even in couples groups, when people are sharing and feeling emotional, it's like, Satan still has a power over them where they can't be honest with other people in the room, but they can be honest about certain sins, but other ones are like, whoa.
And that's when the power of the body and community happens, is when we share those things that feel so, you know, heavy and horrible.
Well, if you can't admit that you're that there's something going on to somebody else, then you're never gonna fix it. If you don't know that, you know, your toilet's backed up, you're not gonna call the plumber. You know what I mean? You're not gonna get the fans out, and you're gonna be living with this poop water all over your house. That's the
I agree.
People do it all day.
Totally.
They keep painting the front of the house. When they go inside the house, it smells like poop. You know what I mean?
You're what you're getting at is people deal with other issues when the real issue is what's inside. You know what I mean?
Yeah. More or less. I just like you were saying, because when you first said, are you sharing it with when Jenny's in the room? And I was like, I got a little bit off there for what I was talking with these guys about, because you know, they were sharing with me. I'm sure they wouldn't appreciate it if my wife was in the room. But to be able to say, hey, we're having these issues in our relationship, hey, we're struggling with this stuff, is like huge.
Totally.
Because I think everybody's trying to impress everybody else with how good their lemon meringue pie is and what great people they are.
It's Sarah makes BS. A pretty good lemon meringue.
I would say Jane probably makes a better one.
You know, something from the message yesterday that I really appreciated, and this might be going a little too deep, but we'll see what happens.
Let's go there.
We'll see where it goes. But I've actually heard messages like this before, not necessarily out of 1 Corinthians, but I've heard the 1 Thessalonians 4 message, kind of what the will of God is. And then I've heard some other sexual immorality type messages. I think Brad even hit it in the Song of Solomon series a little bit, but something that I don't hear often in church, and this maybe is going a little too much, but I shouldn't preface it as much. But it's like the issue with guys gets talked about a lot. Porn, masturbation, and it just seems like the message focuses on males. And something that Brad did this message, and you had to be listening for it, but he really put the emphasis on male and female, and male and female masturbation as well, and males and females looking at porn, and all of the above. Yep. And I loved that Brad not only said, guys, check yourself.
Right.
Women, check yourself. And I think that's a huge thing, because the more our culture delves into pornography, you're starting to see the rate of women getting into it rise.
Yeah, statistically, it's evening out.
Right.
Yeah. Did you hear him say that? Yeah, the statistics.
36% of women are involved in pornography.
Voluntarily.
Women in the church are involved in pornography.
Actually, I had a friend tell me this like 2 or 3 years ago when Brad gave a deal. Actually, if you look at consumer rates, women have a higher purchase rate of pornography than men.
Really? Mm-hmm. Really?
Interesting.
Yeah, and so that's just like, I feel like I've heard so many messages, you know, where it's just as a guy, you walk away going, but as a female, I think that was a message. And as a male, I just felt like, oh, thank you, because I can, this is an issue that I can walk alongside with a female in, I feel like husbands can go, oh yeah, maybe this is a question I should ask my wife. Is she struggling with this? Right. Because you never think about that.
Yeah. And
really,
the girls who do struggle with it, I bet they're feeling alone in it. Like, oh, this is just a guy thing.
Totally.
I must be so weird, you know? And that's not true. Like a third of women do, you know?
And I just wonder if, from this message, what will spark is that the guys will go into another room and talk about these issues, but the women will not go in the kitchen, Jane. But they'll maybe
go in the den.
Yeah, they'll go in the laundry room. And
the laundry room.
They'll go into another room.
The garden.
And they'll have, they'll have those same discussions about, I'm struggling with porn issues. But honestly, when's the last time we've heard of a women's group starting to talk about their struggles with porn? Right. When's the last women's group that gets started, like that we have the men's fraternity and all? It's like, when are women going to talk about this stuff as well? And I'm not a woman, and I'm not going to bring this up in a group full of women. But I'm also like, gosh, I just feel like it's happening all across the board. Satan has found a way to use every little thing.
Mm. Oh, I feel like the whole theme is the secrecy and this pride and shame. And shame is just such a huge tool, of Satan. Like, it's just because people need to talk about this stuff, because every time you shut yourself down, and obviously you don't want to tweet, or whatever that your sin issues. But, when you're in a relationship with somebody that you care about, and you're struggling with something, and you don't share that struggle, not only does it not, it hurts you, and it hurts your growth,
Totally.
With that person and with God. But it hurts them too, because you're not doing anybody favors by making yourself look good.
Totally.
Because you're just a phony.
Totally.
Just a big fake. Like, get over yourself. You know what I mean?
No.
Share it.
Totally agree. And I think
I'm talking to you, Christian. No.
No, I think that's a powerful thing to just even say, like, and Sarah said, we're going to be in this for a while. And then we're going to start dealing with marriage. And then we're going to start to deal with divorce. And it's like all this stuff is to come. Mm-hmm. And it's like, gosh, start the conversations now. Mm-hmm. You, I mean, right. I think you're right. It's a shame thing. And maybe that's the root of it all. And it's like, I think it's a fear-based thing in some sense. It's like, I'm afraid to share with my wife, because if I share with my wife that, I don't know, a great context that I would think of is like, I've heard, if I were to share with my wife that I look at pornography, she's going to divorce me.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, gosh, yeah, man, like, why are you so fearful of this? Have a conversation. If you married the right woman, she is going to walk through this with you, and she's going to show you grace. It's not going to be easy. Things are going to suck for a while, but walk through this with one another. Or if you're a woman and you're struggling with masturbation or pornography, share that with your husband. Let him walk through it with you. Gosh, the door needs to be swung open, but it's just so closed off, and we're so fearful of divorce, or I'm going to get kicked out, or and it's like, work through these issues.
There's this whole section in the Love and Respect book. I don't know if you guys have read that, but he talks about how women, a common complaint from women is that men aren't open and honest and whatnot. And that, and he kind of references the fact that, you know, spirituality can kind of be a feminine game and things like that. And he says, well, think about it. Think about if a man comes to a woman and shares what his deep, dark, dirty, disgusting black heart secrets are. You know, like, it's very different for a man and a woman, because when a woman shares her deep, dark secrets, let me start over here. So it's kind of like the men know what they struggle with.
Right.
I know what my issues are. I'm very strong with that. I don't know if all women are like this, where they're just kind of don't know or whatever, but the book kind of touched on that. So you go and you share this stuff with your significant other, and then they get rejected because they're like, oh my gosh, you're disgusting.
Right.
That's what you do? Like, who are you? Like, you know? So I think, I mean, it's a real give and take. You know, when you talk about in a relationship too, you have to, if somebody comes and says, hey, FYI, X, Y, and Z, you're like, whoa. You know, you need to approach it in the way that, you know, that Christ would. Look down at your WWJD bracelet, you know, and love the sinner and hate the sin, you know?
Totally. But what happens is that you end up hating the sin and the sinner.
Oh, yeah. They're just disgusting.
Gosh, and it's like, let's get rid of the shame. Let's get rid of the fear. And I feel like we're going to address that over the next couple weeks, but...
And the cool thing, something I love about The Well is that there is a really great counseling center for discounted prices of really great counselors. So if you are feeling shame, or if you feel bondage in something, there is totally hope for you, and there is freedom there. So please seek something out, and we can even connect you with good counselors.
Right. And recovery groups.
Absolutely.
And something about counseling and even recovery groups is that if you're uncomfortable sharing this type of stuff with your wife or your girlfriend, fiance, or your husband or your whatever, I think from a personal level, sharing it with a counselor first helps you just vocalize it, and then you're able to translate it to your spouse. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
you don't have to apologize. You could just be bare and honest, and then kind of reframe
work backwards
it
from there. Yeah. And so I think there's some power in that as well.
And they can be, and they can't be weird about it, because you're paying them.
Right.
You're paying them to not be weird about it.
So I don't know. This is a discussion I think we're going to have over the next couple of weeks, I don't know. This is good. Kevin, I like it when you speak your mind.
Oh, I will get past it. I almost dropped the microphone at one point. I was like, ugh. No, I think the issue of honesty and openness in relationships is something I'm really passionate about, because I don't know. It's who I am. It gets me into trouble all the time. I mean, I'm censoring about 12 different things right now as I talk.
Right.
So I'm scared and looking forward to the future weeks of talking.
Nervous and really looking forward to it.
Oh, yes.
Well, we look forward to continuing this discussion over the next few weeks. So continue to stay tuned with us as we kind of walk through 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 6, and 7. And tell a friend as well. Up next is One and Why, and we'll also discuss some news. Stay tuned.
I hope that no one finds you pretty. I hope that no one takes you home. 'Cause while I'm sitting in the dark, it would be nice to know that you're alone. I hope that no one hears you crying. Or if they do, that they don't care. 'Cause when you handed me my heart, I spent a week just talking to the air. And when your heart is broken, you want the whole world to be blue. I just wanna know you're hurting too. I hope you feel a little homesick. I hope your mother doesn't call.
All right, this is the news segment, but we're going to skip the news today, and we're going to talk about breakup stories for
news.
Fun.
Oh, for fun.
Now, I just want to make that, you know, these are breakup stories, so
I brought tissue, so it's
okay. As an audience and as a group here, let's not, you know, make fun of one another as we share our and break our souls. But some of us may have some pretty tough stories to share. So I thought this
you
is
keep
us
looking
being,
at me, Christian.
This is us being vulnerable to the audience.
I think Christian's preparing us for his vulnerable breakup story.
Well, yeah. I look like pretty bad in my story.
Oh, you're the one who did it.
I'm the victim.
Go.
No, you're the victim.
I'm not gonna go first. Should
is
I go first?
Is this the same one you told in WSM?
No, different breakup story.
All right.
But you guys want me to go first?
Sure. Yeah, you're ready to go.
Well, I dated a girl, and should we do names?
No.
Okay.
Give her a fake name.
So her name was Sarah. And,
That's weird.
No. Well, anyways, I dated this girl, and we kind of didn't begin a relationship we were friends, acquaintances for a good couple months. Then we started dating, and we probably dated for about 3 months. We had a common like of the band Hanson, and so we kind of came together.
Instant bonding moment.
I don't want to get too involved in it, but
don't build your house in the sand. All right, that's all I gotta say.
But okay, basically we were dating, and she went to this Hanson tour, and I don't want to make her look bad because we're friends now. But she went on this Hanson tour.
And it's your today wife.
She called me. No, sorry. And I was calling her to check in at night, and I was like, hey, how's it going? And I left a message. She never called me back. So I was starting to kind of like tweak out a little bit. And the next day came, and she was at this tour. Still, she was going to a couple different Hanson shows, so like two or three different Hanson shows.
How old are you? Can we get
19?
20. So this is right before
gosh,
I left.
Are you
What?
Keep going.
Okay, keep going.
No, what's your
Hanson
beat?
Was really good those years.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, their newer stuff is really good.
All right, so let me keep going here. So I call her the next day, and I'm trying to get a hold of her. And this is like, I'm trying to get a hold of her all day long, and she's like not responding to
Nothing.
Me. Nothing. But I go on her Facebook, and I notice that she had written something on another dude's Facebook.
Oh.
And
she didn't.
Now, this other guy was my friend and still is my friend, and but I was like, why is she not responding to me? But she's on the Facebook with this guy. So I Facebooked her and she never responded to me. So I'm like, what is going on? Like, up until this point, like, our relationship was healthy. We were at the point in our relationship where we were kissing, we had a good relationship, we had classes together. I mean,
whoa.
This was like a good spot in our relationship. I felt like everything was fine. So we get to this night comes. And
was
this
it
is
Zach?
A longer story.
Was the guy that she wrote on the wall, was
all
it
right,
Zach?
Quit the jokes, all right? I'll pour my heart
Isaac.
Out here.
All right.
So we finally at night, I'm just like, she is not calling me back. She's not texting me. So I'm like freaking out. And I'm like, what's wrong with her? So this is where it gets bad, okay?
You drove all the way to find her.
No, worse than that. I had noticed that she had written this guy on Facebook, and I was like, what else is she putting on this guy's Facebook? So I tried to hack into her Facebook account.
Whoa. That's not that weird.
But I couldn't hack into hers. But I figured out how to hack into the guy's account.
How'd you know his password?
I literally spent about 3 hours typing
oh my
back
goodness.
And forth, clearing the cookies. This is bad, guys. That's I know. Okay. This is a low moment of my life. And I got in, and she had been, you know, chatting back and forth, some intimate messages back and forth with this person.
Intimate.
And I just said, I just broke down. I just started crying, and aww. I like curled up into a ball in front of my heater, and I just laid there bawling my
gosh.
Eyes out. I was a single roommate at that point, so it was just me. And I just like, I didn't know. And then we didn't chat. She had no idea that I looked at this guy's Facebook page for until she got back from the tour. And then right before our class that morning, I mean, this is where it gets really sad, but like I was heartbroken. I thought I loved this girl. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I get in there and I'm like, I saw this on your Facebook. I want to work through this. I'm so sorry what happened. And I basically pulled the card that I shouldn't have done this, but I basically said, I love you. And she was like, don't do that. And I was like, ah. And then at that point, just things died from there. So it took me a good month to process that breakup, but then I worked through it with Lacey, actually, because Lacey and I were working together, and it actually brought Lacey and I close together. One of my really good friends is now engaged to this girl, so everything's good. The guy,
can you guys laugh about it now?
We don't bring it up.
Oh, okay. But so no, we can't.
That's
okay,
my
that's
breakup
fine.
Story. It's, you know, it doesn't hurt me anymore, but it's like when you get cheated on in some weird way, it's a weird thing. Like you kind of keep it with you forever, and you're always got a little bit of distrust in you with people. Yeah. And I don't know what that is, and Lacey definitely sensed that as we started. But it definitely hurt me, but all is forgiven. Pulled the grace card out and definitely have given it. And so, you know, that's my story. I didn't mean to, you know, start it off on a low-key thing, but...
When you start getting down... You just got to say mbop, you know what I mean?
That's why he gave the disclaimer at the beginning. The word, right. Like, don't make fun of each other because I'm about to talk about
Hanson. All right, so Kevin, you know, go for it.
You want me to do mine?
Yeah, I would like it. So I can rip on you. Go for it.
I feel like so much hostility. come on, it's Hanson.
All right, go for it.
I don't know. Well, okay, so... I'm gonna segment some things. I did have a girlfriend at one point in high school, and I broke up with her, and then I spent like 9 months trying to get back with her, and it was like just long sad months of poetry and listening to Van Halen's "Why Can't This Be Love," and I'm just like,
Van Halen, really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Hey, I'm not ashamed of Van
Christian,
Halen.
Christian, don't feel bad about Hanson.
Van Halen's, they're classy. They're classic. Classic. But I did, that was probably the worst. That was the worst. It was sad. I was bummed out for a long time.
9 months, man.
It was a long time. And then she's like super sweet. And so she wrote like really nice stuff in my yearbook at the end of the year. Aww. How, you know,
have a good summer.
It was just classic girl stuff. Like, you're the best ever and no one's ever going to compare. Okay. And someday you're going to make somebody real happy. I'm like, well, sounds like you were kind of, you know, separated in your brain and you're the one who screwed up. I didn't say that. But no, I just remember thinking like, you're such a woman. Why? And that is classic girl. You're going to be great for somebody. Actually, it's probably classic for anybody breaking up. But I did want to tell the story, the full story about me and my wife, because I told her that I was in. I was like, yes, like she's it. And about 2.5-3 months in, and she was like, oh, that's great. It's fantastic. I'm just like, oh. Okay, and yeah, and I just felt like she was kind of pulling away or whatever, and so we had a conversation. We were over at Northwest, and she's like, "Hey, I really like you. You're awesome, but I'm just finding myself, you know, spiritually, and I just feel like I'm just getting back into church, and I don't even know who I am right now, and I'm dating Jesus right now, and blah blah blah." She didn't say those words, and I just feel like I need to know who I am spiritually by myself without being so. And I said. I literally said, and I will censor it a little bit. I'm just like, you want to break up with me? No, I don't know. Yes, you do. No, I just really, it's the I'm like, you want to break up with me, and you don't have to do it.
The guts.
The cojones to do it. and I said, so you know what? I'm breaking up with you. We're done. And I walked away. It was so.
Did you throw the mic?
Yeah, epic. I dropped like Chris Rock. I was like, what?
Boom.
So then she, I couldn't even see her. I went to an Air Force recruiting office because I was like, I don't even want to be in the same state as her.
Whoa.
And I was going to join the military and be a pilot and just be like Thomas. I was going to start working out and getting jeans to play volleyball.
You could have been like a military comedian.
I could have. It would have been. My life would have completely changed.
Well, I'm glad things worked out there.
Yeah, my friend's parent trapped us. They went to a movie and she was there and we ended up holding hands. And she said, "Let's get back together." And I said, "Let's wait a week." I said, "Okay." And then she said, "Let's get back together." I said, "Let's wait another week."
She's like, I still want to. I'm like, yeah, let's do this.
And so, now here you are.
Yes.
Well, thanks for sharing, Kevin. Thanks for pouring your heart out.
Oh,
appreciate
it. You're welcome.
Jane?
I was waiting for something.
Jane, you got it?
Yeah. Okay. So, true confession.
Is this cool? Are we like, I feel like this went way beyond what I was expecting. I was expecting it to just be some lighthearted stories.
Okay, but you came out the gate without it being lighthearted.
Yeah, you were super vulnerable.
You were crying curled up in front of your heater.
Yeah, Christian.
I'm just, go
for it. You
set
the tone. We're just following your lead.
Did this just happen right now? The story you're going to tell.
Over here, he checks me. I don't know. Okay. I don't really have a breakup story because, sorry guys, I know you had high hopes for me, but never really had a real boyfriend, so can't really break up. The only thing, as close as I can get, there was this guy, we were talking, and I was not living at home, and whenever I'd go home, we'd hang out, whatever, talk on the phone, all that stuff. I just felt like it wasn't where I wanted it to go. So we had the conversation of, hey, I know you're in it, but I'm not. So we got to be done with this. That was it. Then he started dating someone the next day. So I guess he wasn't that into it.
Whoa. Oh, he did. He started dating somebody the next day?
Yeah.
Ugh. I'm sorry, Jane.
Hey, that's a bummer.
It's all right.
Where does he live? Go there right now. Get the Montero.
Let's not get into the details. You good though?
I'm totally good.
All right, Sarah,
just give me an address.
Bring on the waterworks.
No. Well, my story is really sad.
No.
I'm not gonna cry. Okay, well, I had a funny one from like sixth grade. My fifth grade boyfriend, his name was Matt Kamick, and I thought
my gosh,
he was.
You just dropped a name.
Oh, I'll say it. If you listen, Matt Kamick, give me a phone call you're super cool.
She's ready now, Matt.
No, he broke up with me. We were best friends, okay? We're best friends, and then he told his friend Hank to ask my friend Courtney to ask me if I'd be his girlfriend.
Ugh.
And so then we were boyfriend, girlfriend. We didn't speak. We spoke 3 times in 4 months. And yes. We were best friends. We talked all the time. And then as soon as my boyfriend, we didn't talk anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I would run from him. And I was so nervous and scared to be around him. And then when he broke up with me, he called his friend Hank called my friend Courtney and then called me and said, hey, Matt wants to break up with you. He also wants to know if your friend Jessica is available.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, totally. And I didn't see that was a bad thing until like later. I was like, oh, that was funny. And then I didn't even notice. That didn't make me that sad, but that was funny. The sad one was more recently, a guy who he's like probably 6 years older than me. He's like a pastor and an author and a speaker and all these really great things. And I met him at a camp. He liked me for probably 2 years, was pretty persistent in pursuing me, and I never was into it. And then one day I finally was. And so we were talking, Skyping or whatever. And then he backed away, and I called him on it, and I said, what's going on? And he said, he gave me a really great monologue about how I'm perfect for him, or not, maybe not for him, but just the best girl he's ever met.
Wow.
And then like the most perfect, like just beautiful things. You would think like a proposal was coming at the end or something.
Right.
And at the end he said, but I just feel a red light on us. And I appreciate all the things that he said, because I don't doubt that he like that those things were true.
Did he then ask if your friend Jessica was available?
No, but he did have a girlfriend the next week.
Wow.
So,
well, at least he didn't say
this
he wasn't
is the
ready.
Thing. If the guy's going to say, I have a red light, say the red light's another girl.
Yes. And that's what, and I haven't spoke to him really since then, but that produced many, many a tear from my eyes. That was a
Sarah,
year ago.
That was the first thing I worked through with you.
Really?
Yeah. In our friendship.
Stupid Canadians.
Okay. What if he's listening?
Well, hey, if you're listening, call me. We're going to talk about it. He's not listening.
Not just as a disclaimer, because I was just thinking this, like, yeah. I don't mean to, I'm not like speaking poorly about this person. I think that like God orchestrated in some senses some self-realization for me through my breakup, and it allowed me to meet my wife. And so I'm sure we've all had these things where it's like, it's actually been a good thing for us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because that whole thing made me question why I'm in ministry, why I'm in Fresno, like so many things. It made me so sure of my job, my place here.
Cool.
Like so many things. And that's really, I really don't cry about it. Like there would be no waterworks. It was, it's, I can look on it now and have great feelings about it.
But seriously, is your friend Jessica available?
I haven't talked to her since the sixth grade.
So well, I had like the lamest story, guys.
Jane, don't feel bad. That's like the person saying I have a lame testimony or whatever. We've all got a good story.
Oh my gosh. That's right. Everyone has a good story. So, we've talked about that.
This has been a long segment, and I apologize for that, but I think it was good. We I think our audience likes us that much more, and they know us a little bit more now. So I appreciate us all sharing, and stay tuned for some good interview with Andrew Vile.
I heard that you're settled down, that you found a girl and you're married now. I heard that your dreams came true. Guess she gave you things I didn't give to you.
All right, we are back, and we are here with a very special guest, because as I have said earlier in the program, this is our 40th episode, 40th anniversary, so I thought we'd bring...
The 40th?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you guys, we're like over the hill. Why aren't we wearing black or something?
Well, you know, I thought we'd bring in an old flame, and...
an old flame.
And Andrew. That kind of goes along with our one and why this week.
Yeah, so Andrew Vile, welcome back to the show.
It is so good to be back.
And it's our producer.
Andrew, you were here, what, maybe a couple months ago when Levi was born?
Yeah, four months ago.
So 4 months ago?
4 months ago.
It's and had you long. Changed jobs yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So
I think we had just talked about spiritual formation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So people
that's
know
that's why he was here, and I was on that episode too. So, guys, it's like we're all reunited.
Woo! I'm not holding anybody's hand.
Okay. Fine. Jeez. All right.
So,
thanks,
so,
Andrew.
So, gotcha. For our listeners out there, you know, 4 months ago, you basically had a son named Levi.
Father to child.
Basically, you had a son. That's what happens. You go to the hospital, things happen, and mm-hmm. I walked out with a kid.
All right.
Weird.
corporations are people, right?
Yeah, corporations are people.
So, okay. So, you had a kid 4 months ago, and you also changed jobs about 4 months ago as well, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, for most people who have just started listening or whatever, Andrew Vile is our spiritual formation director at the Fig Garden campus.
Yeah, there's one at every campus. So you probably, at some campuses, they're up front, some they're not. So our role is really to help facilitate community and also mission stuff. So we do a lot of local mission kind of things. And we also really support life groups and discipleship kind of things happening at every campus.
And so you... basically are in charge of is specific on Fig Garden campus. What is your role specific to Fig Garden? Just life group leaders and...
Yeah, all that. I mean, so I really spend a lot of my time as discipling leaders. I spend a lot of time, we've been producing a lot of material. So we've had the primer, we had the first Corinthians guide 1-3. And then in a couple weeks, actually, we're going to release the next set of life group guides for 1 Corinthians 4-7. So we've been writing a lot and then it's meeting with folks at Fig and just planning a lot of what, you know, using my talents and with Obwald, who's our Fig campus pastor, just going, what could God do at Fig? And, you know,
maybe this is a good question to ask.
Throw it my way.
You sure?
Yeah.
I'm asking this for the general population, not the Christian Warren on staff population. Okay. But for a churchgoer, what would be what's the difference between a campus pastor and a spiritual formation director? Mm. Because, in some senses, and I know we've been discussing this at the well, to some people it feels like the same thing. And in fact, I've been asked by people, what's the difference between the two? So maybe you could help clarify that
a little bit. Good question,
Christian. Yeah, that's great. I think for a campus pastor, you're going to see them mainly up front. So they're the upfront personality. So they're going to be up front talking. They're also getting connected to a lot of new faces. So somebody that is not connected, wants to know about more about the Lord, nor about the well, they're going to meet with a campus pastor. So it's a lot of kind of the first touch person. And they're going to do a lot of the same things that I do in some sense, where they're going to do marrying, burying, you know, they're going to be, they are the pastor.
Burying? Yeah.
Burying, wow. Funerals?
Yeah,
you know?
I get it.
It was a rhyming thing.
Yeah, you know. It's,
Mary and Barry.
Yeah. So they're the upfront presence, and then they're also, as people, like, they're the face of the place is what we call it.
Okay.
So, and they're the first person that somebody would connect with, and a lot of unconnected people would meet with them.
Gotcha.
For my role, I more meet with the connected folks. So
okay.
It's the campus, it's the life group leaders, it's people that are plugged in and that are family. That's more the people I end up working with. So your life group leaders, people that are pouring into leaders, our goal is just to facilitate leaders pouring into leaders, kind of an idea. So most campuses, it's more behind the scenes. We're more,
right.
We joke, and it's becoming a thing we're throwing around the staff is, you know, we always have our well lingo things like
right.
bandwidth and right.
We'll
you
be
know,
as margin, available to you.
Margin.
As
Mary
with.
And Barry.
Mary and Barry. I'm working that one in. But one of the things we've been talking about is you have your air wars and your ground wars. So the air wars are the people up front. They're talking. It's Brad. It's Dave
right.
at the fake campus. It's Jared at Clovis, and it's PJ, and it's also Jordan at North. And
right.
so those are the people that are up front, and then we're doing the ground wars. We're doing the stuff behind the scenes that people don't necessarily see, but it helps us be the well.
Shouldn't it be the other way around? Because I see people on the ground and not necessarily people in the air.
But I think the stage is like the air. You're
yeah.
above.
Yeah,
you're
stage.
Above.
Oh,
you're casting
so the
vision.
The
you're...
air are above the rest of us.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
All right.
Not
well,
exactly.
It's us little lowly people over here. No big deal.
You dug
the analogy, but.
With that, spiritual formation is, you know, something that most campuses have is they also have a female counterpart in the female spiritual formation realm because – obviously you
I'm not a female.
Right. And you don't want to meet with some female leaders.
And there's some issues that really only women can counsel each other in.
I
women
totally
counseling
agree with.
Women.
That's
so
right.
Who's the female one at the Fig Garden campus, just so everybody's aware?
Yeah, it's Kim File, which is not my wife. So
not your wife.
Yeah,
yes.
So that's always tricky. It's my sister-in-law.
Oh, okay.
So my brother married Kim. And then
your brother
I
Brian, who we've had
brother
on the show
Brian,
before.
Brother Brian, yeah, who works at Neighborhood Thrift.
Correct.
And then my wife
crazy
is Denise.
Mustache.
So, yeah, he's got a little dirty mustache going.
So, Kim is also kind of she's doing the ground war stuff as well, but just with the female side
yeah.
of things. But is some of the spiritual formation females, are they helping write the curriculum?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Totally.
Okay.
So we gathered everybody this last time, and everybody got to be a part of it throughout all the campuses. All the spiritual formation team have been a part of it. So it's really been it's been fun because it allows for multiple voices, not just these guys are writing it,
right.
But it's allowed for multiple voices and all kind of perspectives to speak to it. And so hopefully I think that hopefully that comes through as life groups are going through the material that they see that this is broad ranging and really,
right.
really inclusive.
Now we've tried to get Scott in here a couple times, and Scott,
he's just too cool.
Yeah, he's Slacker. Like, you know, he's like, oh, podcasts. I'm not into podcasts. I'm like, get on the show, okay?
I drive a VW bus. I'm too cool.
But we've tried to get Scott to really talk about the curriculum and sorry, why am I drawing a blank? Greg Zuffalotto came in here
yeah.
and talked a little bit about the curriculum.
Those are some of our other spiritual formation directors.
Correct.
In case
yeah.
you didn't hear those episodes.
But for those people maybe not involved in a life group, maybe because life groups look a lot different than what they have been in the past at the well, what is the reason why somebody should get in the life group and why are these curriculums and kind of why have we gone away from the Ripple and all the above? Like, why are these the thing to that we're just putting all of our chips in some senses.
Totally. Well, and based on the sermon this past week, I mean, you guys heard Brad really at the end highlight the fact that we are all built for community and we need community. And so for us, community is kind of three things. We see it as being the spiritual forming kind of place. And so like the message that came Sunday, that's very heavy, that is very life applicable. How do we grow in our sexuality? We need to process that with other Christians. Like, we can't fight that battle alone. If we will fail. And so that's part of the spiritual formation element is part of community. For us, we also think there's a high value that we need family. And so our community, our life groups can become family. And especially as the Well has grown so quickly, so fast, it's hard to get plugged in somewhere on a Sunday. It's hard to connect with people on a Sunday. So our life groups serve as another avenue that we can become family, we can become community, we can grow together and just have relationships. We can bond. And then I think finally, it also allows us to continue to serve together. So yeah. It's hard. Like, I know from being the missions director in the past, like, to take that first step is hard to do it alone. So like, to go downtown or to go to your next door neighbor, like, that's hard. But if you have people praying for you, challenging you, encouraging you, mission kind of happens naturally, and you can do it in team. So I think that idea of spiritual formation, community, and mission all like happen together best in life groups. So I think as the Well, we're just saying it. There's two different things. There's like the gathering on a Sunday and a Wednesday that are very important, but the scattering and sending people out, like, our mission is to be the church in every neighborhood and help people connect to God and to each other. And that can't happen on a Sunday necessarily. And so we are the church, the people of the Well are the church. And so life groups are the way to do that.
So you mentioned earlier, as you just were talking about this past Sunday, and you want to do it in community and you want to go through this with your life group or whatever. And maybe a question that I've actually asked myself is that if you're in a life group this week, your life group curriculum, your life group guide is not going to match up with the message that Brad gave. In fact, you just mentioned that you haven't even written the curriculum for 1 Corinthians 4 through what, 12?
Mm-hmm. 7.
7, 4 through 7. So, how does that work in life group? Because your message doesn't line up exactly with life group. And is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think there's downsides to both. And we're very... we're very honest in the fact that like there's good and minuses to doing it either way. Mm-hmm. I think for us, what we found is that people that like a life group is never open to other people if it's a message centered content. And you have to be there on Sunday. You have to listen right to the message to be able to talk about it. And for us, that was a big downside because we hope our groups can become places that can invite people in that aren't connected to God. And then if they're just going through material that's a Sunday material, everybody's going to feel like an outsider. So that was one of the biggest reasons we got away from doing sermon discussion.
Yeah.
I think also timeline wise, it's a big stretch and it was very hard because a lot of the pastors, they spend a lot of time prepping their messages, but they finish them on Tuesday or maybe even Wednesday when they give it at midweek. And so to then write material that every life group goes through is just, I mean, you got 2 days right to really produce that material and that's just hard. And so I think those are a couple of the reasons.
Also, like, other groups can go through 1 Corinthians at any point they want. Yeah. So right later on, if we're going through whatever book we choose to do next, like, but there's a group that wants to study 1 Corinthians, we have, hey, look, we have material for you. Or mm-hmm. if even people from another church, if they want to use our 1 Corinthians material, that's something like we can consider because it's not message driven, it's text driven. Yeah. And there's things I think, that we can get from the text that maybe Brad didn't, or like, because just because he took something from a text doesn't mean that's the only thing we can get from a text. We want the Holy Spirit to speak through his word and not necessarily just go off of what Brad said.
Totally.
And I think one of the things we're finding, though, is this is our first time doing it, right?
Right.
We're way off calendar wise. Like,
totally.
So what our teaching team is doing and what our life group guide is are so far away. And I think that's been good department wise because we would like them to be close. So we would like an ideal world that this week our groups are going through around the same topic. It didn't work out that way for this first time. I think as we go through in the future, we want to align it far more closely. Right. So.
And if there's a big issue in the life group, we're not going to like just then abandon 1 Corinthians guide for a week and talk about sexual immorality because that's a huge issue to talk through. And if you want to ask questions, you have to do it in your life group, So we're not married to, you have to do this every single week,
And I think the primer, we tried to like let that idea come out, is that we are getting away from it being about curriculum, because mm-hmm. it's about the things. Spiritual formation can happen through any curriculum. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't have to be like everybody gets married to their Beth Moore study or their John Piper book or these mm-hmm. things. And it's like,
we need to bury those.
You heard it here.
But we just care about like spiritual formation happening, community happening, and mission happening. And so how it gets happening, and how, if life group leaders need to take it a break and, you know, pause, like, do it all the more, you know. So
some good clarifying here. And I honestly, like, I think I know the answers to those questions, but I've been asked those and I could not explain it as well. So this is a great plug for mm-hmm. the Spoutcast, because if you have a question, I'm just gonna, you should listen to this episode of the Spoutcast, right?
Yeah,
episode 40.
Woo-hoo.
We're getting wiser in our older age, you guys.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So Andrew, as you go and you leave us, and we'll see you in another 4 months, is there any admonitions you have for us for the next 40 episodes as producer?
Yeah,
and
you give
overseer?
Us really good
admonish
feedback.
Us, producer file.
Well, I had to confess, I don't remember who I told. I didn't listen
you
to
totally
the, I didn't
me.
Listen to the last episode, so I need to get back on the
you
train.
Listen, did you listen to the one with Carl and Dom?
Yes,
I heard
super
that was
good.
So
super
good.
Super good.
Yeah, that was a really good episode.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I think a lot of the tweaks, a lot of the things, I think the feedback I had is it's short. So key, I mean, that's going
to
be
we're
a continual.
Trying to get short, dude.
That's a continual battle for you guys. Is keep it short.
Kevin Tinkin is shaking his head and saying, "You stink at everything in life, Andrew."
I think something that we've grown in, but we always need to be growing in, is not talking over each other.
I don't know what you're talking about, Sarah.
And talking about people that no one else knows about.
Yeah. And that's another thing I've said is like, you know, it's very, you guys all know everybody, all know the language. So you get an email from so-and-so, you get an email from whatever. Right. And nobody else knows who you're talking about. But
that's good. Good work.
I like, I saw it on Sunday. You guys are on the little slide promo.
Yeah, I know. That's a big deal.
I took a picture of it and sent it to Christian.
I'll say this. I kind of blackmailed Karen, but she doesn't listen to this podcast.
Who's Karen?
Hey, there you go.
She's the executive producer. Hello.
Karen Price
that
is really
nothing.
Our executive producer, which means nothing, but she's the one that says this show goes or this show doesn't go. Yeah. She is our creative director at The Well, who kind of is a lot of the behind the scenes type
things.
Did you
give her a Christmas present?
Yeah, so what'd you give her?
No,
Forget the backstory. What'd you blackmail her with?
I blackmailed her because she wants to start using clips from the sermon and putting it on Facebook and Twitter.
Oh.
And I said I would give her the clips that I pull for the sermon if she starts to pump the Spoutcast a little bit more.
Because I feel like our podcast can be such a good resource because we do sermon discussion, and that's what we get the best feedback from for people.
So I just, it's some blackmail, and all of a sudden I saw it at all the campuses this past week. So I'm just saying.
Well, and The Well, I would love to hear from you guys. The Well has been talking about internally. We've been talking a lot about how do we use social media? Do we need to use social media? What does that mean? How do we do that? What's the Spoutcast got on its radar for getting up to 102 fans?
Hey, we're at like 140 by now.
Oh,
you know, honestly, it's tough because, I mean, this is going a little bit longer, a little bit more in detail, but I've just been thinking this too. Like I feel like we have a core amount of fans, but it's just like the same with like a youth group or a church. It's like you have a core of 3,000 people at The Well, but it's like, is that you're just going to just talk to those 3,000 people, or do you want more listeners? Do you want more people coming to The Well to hear?
Keep reaching.
Yeah. So it's like, how do we get out there? How do we get this Spoutcast out there? And I think that this Spoutcast is not for everybody, and podcasts are not for everybody. Mm-hmm. It is still a market that's like still pretty untapped. More people listen to radio than they listen to podcasts. So how do we get people at The Well to go, look, this is a good resource. It's funny. We got Kevin Tinkin on the show. And
woo.
I don't know. What do you think, Andrew? What's a way to get people?
Well, I was thinking, you know, it's a thing that I don't know. This is more reaching a different market. But like, have you ever had your fans do like an iTunes blitz where they review? Because I know for iTunes, it all works based on reviews. And so like if you get reviews, like that brings you up in the chart. And so just even a way as people want to check it out that they're like, oh, this is actually legit. Like this isn't two people in a, you know,
it's
in their basement. It's four.
Five.
In a nice studio.
It's not a basement, all right? But yeah, let's do that. If we have fans out there,
We should take a picture of ourselves right now and post it on the Facebook.
Here's what I would like. If you're a fan of the show,
today.
I think you need to blitz our iTunes, because I agree with that.
Yeah.
Blitz it.
So
We have super fans out there.
Yeah, we do have some. It's just like, I feel like there's people that are listening that just aren't doing much.
Yeah.
And I get it because I listen to podcasts and I never respond. I never write any emails. But whenever they say, look, we need every fan to do this, I'm like, all right, this one time I can do this.
So all of you guys right now, go to iTunes.
You have, I know everybody has an iTunes IM name or whatever. Just write a review. It could say a simple word as like,
the best podcast
ever. Jeremiah Spears, Sarah Roby, Wes Crockett. You guys can all do this. Our super fans.
No, more than that. We got to get everybody.
Yeah. I know. Hey, but I'm calling people by name.
One of my students, Mrs. Nickel, if you're out there, Maddie's one of my students and her mom listened.
All right.
So let's put the iTunes.
Brent Scroggins from River Park Bible Church listens to this and he should write a review because he loves it.
All right. Well, that's good. Andrew, thanks for the admonition, man. Enough. 40 years.
All right. 40 years. Here's to another 40 years.
Here's to another 40 episodes. Cheers.
Hallelujah. All right.
Up next, we'll give some announcements and we'll close out the show. Welcome back, and
that was weird.
My stomach grumbled a little bit.
grumble.
Hey, in case you haven't caught the drift here, is that there's some music in this week's episode.
I've been wondering what the stuff is in the background.
Well, it's some breakup songs that myself and Jane picked out.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, along with that is next week's One and Why, because this week we talked about our one breakup and why.
I'm just thinking of all these really great breakup songs that I hope you chose.
Well,
that one's the janitor.
The other one, the more funny one, you're welcome.
Yeah, so next week for our One and Why is we had a fun discussion today at lunch about what one person would we want stranded on an island with us and why. So that would be a good discussion for next week. We'll have some news and all of the above. Sorry for the serious one and why today.
It can be anyone, too. No parameters.
Yeah. No parameters.
You can know him. Even
a celebrity?
I think, celebrities all the above.
Absolutely, celebrity.
So, so email us at the spoutpodcast at gmail.com. And then Sarah's going to give some more announcements as well.
Academy is still going on.
No, Jane,
you
and Tim Tebow cannot be on an island together.
You just said no parameters.
Yeah, and it would be Aaron Rodgers.
Okay,
Rodgers. Okay, Academy is going on. We just started. You're listening to this on Tuesday. So last night was our second night. So you are more than welcome to still come join us. We're talking about theological truths of the Bible. It's $50 donation if you want to come. Monday nights at 6:15 at the North Campus. Also, with a new semester, a new year, there are new life groups happening. So if you want to get plugged in to process life with people, do life with people, get into deep relationship, we would love to have you. So fill out an info card or go online and we have a list of all of our open life groups. Our life group guides are also coming out in a few weeks. So listen for announcements for those. And we would love your feedback on iTunes. So if you could go on to your little iTunes icon and click a review for our podcast, we would love to hear what you have to say. Preferably, can you give us like 4 or 5 stars? That would be awesome.
If you have a negative review, write it.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to give a lower one, that's fine too.
Yeah, if you want to say that you think Jane should be the host instead of Christian, that's great. I'll take it.
Just be honest.
Yeah, that's fine. But also go to facebook.com/spoutcast or the twitter.com/thespoutcast. We've actually gotten a few new Twitter followers over the last couple of weeks, so I need to start posting more.
Yeah, I didn't know I wasn't following you guys.
Yeah, well, welcome.
And I tweeted you, and I never got
anything tweeted
back. When's
your cat going to
follow
us?
Mr. Hank?
Yeah.
Mr. Hank has a Twitter?
Twitter.
Twitter.
Well,
Twitter.
On that note...
As a reminder from Sarah, please spay and neuter your pets. Control the animal populations.
This is the spout, and we are out.